Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mad Tower Radio. We're back in the studio, back in our home offices, and we're fucking chomping at the bit to get back to the classics of Mad Tower Radio. We're talking about monsters and fucking ghouls and werewolves and aliens and all that bullshit that's hiding out in the woods. And we're just fucking happy. We're ready to get back to it. But before we begin, first I want to thank y'all for showing out for the fucking ghost hunting video. That shit's at like 70 views in like 3 days. That's our highest performing video ever. And we're currently trying to hit 100 subs before the middle of the year. So if you want to join in on the fun, be part of the Gunch Squad, go ahead and hit subscribe. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right here, you know. I'm holding down the fort up here in the frigid north. It was about negative 17 degrees a couple days last week. But, you know, when you're only outside for brief periods, makes you appreciate being inside, you know. So I'm really enjoying my house. But other than that, you know, just looking forward to getting back into some cryptid and spooky talk.
That's good. It's good to hear. I'm glad. Christian?
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be back at the classics. What it is, the Mad Tower Radio is built upon these stupid, ridiculous little freaks that hide in the woods. I eat those things up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And real quick, if you're new here, this is Mad Tower Radio. I'm Dan. My two co-hosts are Christian and Ryan. And every day or every week, we set aside some time to talk about some stuff in the world that often is ridiculed and written off as fake fantasy, urban legends. You know, we talk about stuff like Bigfoot, Mothman, ghosts, ghouls, goblins. You know the deal by now. It's a good time. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's a great time over here at Mad Tower Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was like an out of body experience for me. I don't think I've had that much energy for something in the last like 2 years, man. That was wild.
It was just like a fairly spirited like elevator pitch. Are you doing okay?
I'm like hydrated for the first time in like fucking 4 months. Like I've been eating good ever since the new year. Like I'm a changed fucking man right now. I'm firing on all fucking cylinders, baby, using full dedicated brain RAM right now to do this podcast.
Got the ballistics.
So, Christian, before I fry all my fucking circuits here, why don't you tell me what you got today?
I would love to start.
Send it, please.
So, this week, I'm going to cover a monster that I think most people who are somewhat fan of this world will have heard of. Today I'm talking about the Flatwoods Monster. Absolutely. Is this something that both of you are familiar with?
Vaguely. I know of it, and I think I've heard its story long ago, but I'm really excited to hear it again and maybe, get some new fans of cryptids to educate it on the Flatwoods Monster. Because it looks fucking sick.
Oh, that is 100% the thing that always draws me to it. The first thing you need to know about the Flatwoods Monster is, one, West Virginia is a horrible place, and terrifying things live there.
Home of the Mothman, too.
Including, I'm glad you brought up the Mothman. He's going to show up a little bit later. There's a bit of a like West Virginia beef going on between these two beasts. But while the Mothman can be generally considered, you know, a creature or like a biological beast, the Flatwoods Monster is this horrendous, almost toy-like description of a 10-foot automaton that floats above the ground. It has a sort of leaf-shaped crest covering two huge red eyes and a metal pilted skirt-like torso.
Yeah, that thing looks like a shovel.
It's a monstrous, horrifying, like 1950s, what's the word they describe it? Like Ray Punk alien type creature.
Yeah, it looks fucking awesome. It is definitely like a creature design of its time. It's fucking sick.
It has its origins in a haunting couple of nights in 1952 in Braxton County, West Virginia. Now, some of the locals do also call it by Braxy for finding it in Braxton County, but that name sucks.
That's like a Five Nights at Freddy's animatronic.
Yeah, if you're a Braxy boy, you don't get to be on this show. Sorry, brother.
Yeah.
And we begin our encounter by bringing up that this was a night which three states reported asteroid activity. There was some in, I believe, Pennsylvania and Ohio and West Virginia. So somewhere in that region, an asteroid lands, and it comes out that a couple of guys are investigating in the woods at night. It's about 7 p.m. on the 12th, and a couple of brothers begin to smell what is described as a sort of painful, acrid scent that burns their eyes and their ears.
Really? I've never heard anything about like a smell in the Flatwoods Monster story.
I feel like almost like smell is like reserved for like almost demonic supernatural entities.
Graphite, you know.
That's interesting, because the one thing that the witness reports are very like heavy on is the smell. Like it's something that like hurts, you know, like you can't be around it very long.
It hurts.
Like it's an irritant kind of smell.
The fucking Flatwoods Monster has like an AOE poison attack.
Yeah, he's Sin the Slumbering Dragon. Yeah,
that's pretty fucking badass.
And so these, I believe it's three brothers or two brothers and a friend are digging through the woods that night, and they smell this weird smell, flashing their flashlights around. They see two large red eyes floating in the woods. And naturally, they run away. They're scared as it, like, the floating figure careens towards them.
As I think most of us would.
Makes sense. And what edged on this investigation was the sighting of a pulsing light in the sky just before this encounter. They wanted to see what this weird floating sign could be. Mm-hmm. Now, if you would, do a little empathy exercise with me. You're a good old boy in the 1950s in West Virginia. You fear God and you eat your vegetables and you hate the communists. If you're seeing this glowing, flashing light soar through the sky at night, are you going to investigate
it? No. I'm calling good old fucking Joe McCarthy on the spot.
That's right. Let him deal with it.
Good old That is a
fucking commie spacecraft if I ever seen one. Well, I mean, what was that one movie? Stand By Me? The kids, like, they were got so fucking pogged to go see a dead body. Because there wasn't shit to do in the 50s. I'm like, you know, kids now, they're like, dude, if I die, I can't go home and spend my fucking V-Bucks. You know? Kids back then, it's like the only thing they have looked to for... The only thing they have to look forward to is like the fucking sock hop or some shit. Getting a fucking milkshake down at the bar. The 50s were fucking boring.
Yeah, I feel that. It's like just ain't shit to do. It's like, let me go out and like bang two rocks together and like, let's go down to the fucking sugar bowl. Like they, and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's why like you can only do that so much before you just got sick of the sugar bowl and, you know, like post-war United States, ain't shit to do.
Like, don't get me wrong, but it's like, playing outside is fun. I highly encourage playing outside, but like, comes a point where you gotta do fucking something else. It's like, what were your options as a kid in the 50s? It was fucking play card games and nothing cool like Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh. It's like, play fucking War.
Spades.
Or like fucking Euchre. Yeah. Play boring card games like that all day.
Play some backgammon.
Fucking play with. Yeah, right? I mean, maybe if your parents were rich, you could fucking, like, I don't know, build models or something like that. But yeah, it was like, do that until you're old enough to, like, want to drink beer and smoke cigarettes and fucking basically be in Greece.
Exactly.
That was like, it was like Stand By Me and then Greece. That was your life.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Well,
fuck them. Fuck them.
It was very prudent of you to say that you would call, you know, your local politician, because these boys, after seeing the light and tracking out in the woods, called on the help of their own Nat Guardsman, Mr. Eugene Lemon.
Yeah.
And Eugene probably got up out of his comfy boy chair and was like, what the, these you boys want me to investigate
good
this?
Good old Colonel, Colonel Lemon.
That's him. So he arrives on the scene and finds a pulsing red light out in a hill where the kids were investigating. And he also receives an encounter with the Flatwoods Monster. He describes it as floating towards him and then going back to the light that had originally called him.
It just came up and waved and rolled out?
From what I'm gathering from the story, that it might be where the ship landed, possibly, or the meteor landed, and the Flatwoods Monster didn't want people around it, like scare them away,
you
type
know,
thing.
Kind of like makes me think, what if the Flatwoods Monster isn't sentient? Based on like these descriptions of it, what if it was like an automatous fucking like sentry, while the real aliens were back in their ship?
That's sort of what I'm getting out of it.
A robot. It do be kind of looking a little robot-esque.
Yeah. Like something that's operating on some kind of code or some kind of like not biological, like the Mothman. Exactly.
Yeah, and apparently she smells.
She's a stinky bitch. So after that initial encounter, the sheriff comes the next day, and he reports that there are these weird tracks up in the hills that like weren't anywhere that a car could get where the incidents were occurring. And he goes, oh, okay, maybe this is where the saucer's landing tracks were.
Yeah.
And then eventually we come to learn there was a confession later that said that there were some good old boys trying to also find the monster that night, and they were running through the mud in the woods.
So everyone was like, word got out, and everyone was like, we're going to go find the fucking Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah, like he's...
Yeah, they eventually tagged those tracks as a 1942 Chevrolet kind of truck. If you hadn't listened to the Zenfreda abductions, folks, this sort of builds a comparison. This sort of mania takes over the whole town, and everyone's going out in the woods to find or get their own encounter. And there is a town nearby called Frametown. It's about 20 minutes drive from Flatwoods.
Okay.
And the same day, a cop is in Frametown with car issues. He reports getting out of his vehicle and having a similar sort of painful, nauseating smell. And he reports a similar size, similar sort of what's the word I'm looking for, like segmented creature, like the Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah, very distinct.
But where the pleated robot torso is at the bottom, it's a lizard at the top.
Wait, so top half is lizard?
Yeah, it's like if you look up pictures of the Flatwoods Monster, you'll frequently find the full metallic version, but you'll also find a lizard torsoed version.
Really? No, I don't think I've seen the lizard.
Found in Frametown.
You have a picture?
Let me see if I can find you one.
Well, while you're looking for that, look at this fucking picture of like when the boys were asked by the police to draw what they saw in the woods. This is what they fucking drew.
Man. Oh, that fucking Keebler elves up there in the woods. That's like that video.
Yeah, if some kid,
that news reporter's like, "Yeah, man, this dude's breaking into houses. We got a picture of him right here." And someone drew that. Like, have you seen that picture? Like, where the guy's Oh,
but... Yeah. It's like just a terrible fucking drawing. So fucking funny. If I was like some old ass fucking 1950s, I'm the sheriff around here type of cop, and like five teenage boys just came into my office and they were like, sheriff, we saw a monster in the woods. And I was like, what did it look like, son? And he drew me up this shit. I would say, get the fuck out.
Take out my belt.
I'll be like, that's just the Klan.
Oh my God.
Oh my God! It is West Virginia, I guess.
I mean, they were
here's the lizard
time.
Portion.
Who knows what kind of wacky shit? Oh, what the? That's not a lizard.
That looks like Green Goblin.
That looks like a Green Goblin.
he's a little Willem Dafoe-y, but that's the Frametown version.
Okay, so there's two. Is it called the Frametown Monster, or is it just called Flatwoods Monster 2?
I was only able to find a picture of it by using Frametown in its name, but I believe the popular rendition of it is the same monster. So maybe that's like its armor off, maybe?
Yeah, it could be a space suit. Because when you go to the image tab for the Flatwoods Monster, you just see a whole fuck ton of artist's rendition. You know, some people are like, oh, this is a robot, and some people are like, this is like a flesh and blood creature. Like on the opposite side of the spectrum, you got people depicting it like this, where it's like it's some kind of like bone mass on the back of its fucking
fully
neck or something
organic, yeah,
like that. So it's pretty cool, very very cool dynamic monster. And just in appearance alone, its story is pretty good too.
If I can offer you the first sort of explanation grounded in a non-extraterrestrial sense, allow me to show you the picture of a native owl from the area.
Don't debunk this for me, bro. Come on.
I'm really not trying to, but let me just give you the full, you know, girth of the story. So this is a barn owl native to the region. Now what do you see here?
I was gonna say nothing.
While it loads.
Yeah.
So just give it a second, folks. I'll edit that part out.
Hey,
debone me. Oh, it's a little barn owl.
What do you see here?
If I was a scared, like, 8-year-old, maybe, but, like, it's missing that, like, super fucking distinctive, like, spade tip.
Also,
at
the glowing
top,
red
you know?
Eyes. Barn owls, from what I know, do not have glowing red eyes, nor do they refract light like that.
They're trying to say that night a little hysteria got out, people got a little kooky, and a barn owl was sitting on a branch, you know, 10 feet in the air, and that sort of spaded face shield was illuminated. Exactly, there's the comparison picture right there, and some foliage or something made it look like it had the pleated skirt at the bottom. Like, that's the rational explanation for this description.
Right, but that's fucking boring.
Like, humans are dumb, but I don't think we're that dumb. Like, also, look at the size of that owl in that picture. So if it wasn't the monster...
I definitely think kids are that dumb.
But didn't the cop see it? Isn't that what you said? The cop saw it too?
Yeah, the sheriff had had an encounter as well. At least
okay,
two,
so like, there
I think,
you go.
Officials
adults
did.
Had encounters. And, you know, I feel like back then, like you were saying, Christian, you know, very, like, conservative-esque, especially in West Virginia... You know.
Oh yeah, if you were like, I saw the Flatwoods Monster too. They were gonna be like, you're grow
yeah,
the
exactly.
fuck up, dude, and just ostracize him from society.
Private shut the
wall,
fuck
no,
up.
But I think the kids seeing it definitely. Like, if it was just that, I'd be like, okay, just a bunch of kids being kids because kids are stupid, you know. Like, but when two adults see it and they're like, yeah, we saw the same thing. That lends a little more credence to it, because it's like, not only are they adults, but one's the sheriff, you know, the other one's an official, so it's like, you know, like I'm saying, look at the size of that owl in that picture. If it wasn't the robot monster, it was a giant owl. Mm-hmm. Like, that owl's 6 feet tall, look at that.
This is also, it's the night of a meteor sighting, too. That gives people enough energy
That's the energy. During the height of, like, what you were saying, that Ray Punk aesthetic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, peak, you know? Meteor sightings, some kids are saying they saw some strange-looking fucking green dude in the woods, like, yo, that'd probably be pretty fucking sweet.
There are two more factors I just want to bring up before we wrap out the Flatwoods Monster. It's a couple of the, let's say, surrounding factors that I think this monster is really interesting. So, during the Flatwoods Monster craze, it started to get a little more national attention. There's this group who I've never heard of before, but I feel like they could get their whole own entire episode. It is the CSI, the Civilian Saucer Investigation Team.
That's pretty badass.
Like, in the 50s, there were a huge group of independent saucer investigation teams all throughout the country that were like, yeah, it's out there, and like, the government's not going to corroborate this, so we have to form our own investigation teams. And they did a couple of witness interviews on this case. And I think it's by their work that we're able to have such a detailed story of the Flatwoods Monster in particular. The CSI included one member from the good old Operation Paperclip as well.
Of course. I'm telling you, all roads lead to Paperclip.
So these civilian saucer investigation teams began to sort of break up due to factionalization a bit later, like the mid to late 50s, but during this time they were out there hitting the ground, going to where sightings were and saying, what did you see? Like, can we start to build a sort of actual investigative dossier on this? And I believe that sort of helped build the spread and the hysteria of these kinds of monsters. And there's a couple of people I'm seeing online now going, oh, a Flatwoods Monster is just a Mothman knockoff. They want to get that money. They want to create a tourist destination. So they created their own monster. There's the problem with that.
Well,
the Flatwoods incident was 52. My man, Mothman was 66, 67? Yeah. Like, that, those time frames don't add up. Dan, you were saying something?
I was going to say, well, there is the Flatwoods Monster Museum. So maybe they were just trying to drum up business.
If you go to the city of Flatwoods now, it's like a, you know, good old tiny village, but there's Flatwoods shit all over. Completely cashed in on it, which, you know, do you. It's your culture.
Oh, yeah. If I saw fucking, you know, if that was my town, yeah, we would definitely be building fucking the museum.
Making some money off that.
And oh, for sure.
Point Pleasant's also like 2 to 2.5 hours away. Like, there's room for enough demons in West Virginia for them both to have these real, legitimate, you know, encounters, right?
For sure.
Wrong. They fought each other.
Oh, you were not kidding there. Flatwoods is not very big.
I mean you have the Flatwoods Monster, you have Mothman, you have the fucking Grafton Monster out there as well. Like, West Virginia is just like a, like,
oh yeah.
You know, there, it's such an ancient part, like that mountain range, you know, the Appalachian mountain range. It's an ancient area.
Okay, okay.
Who knows what's there?
Not only does, like, being a kid in the 50s suck, but looking at a map of fucking Flatwoods right now, like, could you imagine how much more miserable it'd be to be a fucking kid in the 50s living in fucking Flatwoods, West Virginia?
Ain't nothing there. And the next, and like, the nearest, like, actual metropolitan area is like fucking 2,000 miles away. Yeah, it'd be horrible.
Yeah, where's the nearest?
They're probably having, like, you know, group hallucinations because their brains were so bored.
What is the fucking capital of West Virginia? Charleston, West Virginia?
I learned that from Fallout 76. That don't sound right. That's the capital.
But this, even this place looks small as fuck.
You could fit all of...
I'm not an advocate for, like, big cities, but goddamn. You could
fit all of West Virginia, all of Grafton inside of the Woodfield Mall here in Illinois, bro.
You know, it's pretty pretty good catch that you brought up Fallout 76. Have y'all seen the Flatwoods monster in that game?
Yeah, it looks like an alien.
They stole his look and his, you know, intellectual property for that game, and he don't even look right. He's like too gray, and regular old extraterrestrial.
Like that spade cut. Sheesh.
Just completely ruined the charm of the monster. Thanks, Fallout 76.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing in that LA.
Fucking
yeah, that's
Flatwoods, West Virginia.
That's the place to be.
That's it, my boys.
We'll make a road trip one day.
You on the way to Pleasant?
I think it's past Pleasant.
I guess depending on which way you're coming from, brother.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess for you it is on the way. For me, it is past Pleasant.
I'm flying in.
Well, goddamn! Where are you gonna land? Well, I guess anywhere, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the mountains,
you know they got them fucking military mount installations up there. Like, you saw the numbers, Mason.
Man, you're a kid. POV, you're a kid in fucking
West Virginia.
Flatwoods, West Virginia. Let's go to the Spot Dairy Bar. What else do you want to do today? Nothing. That's all there is.
Yeah, let's go get.
We could go to. We could go to four different churches and then check out the post office.
There's a tourist game. There's like four or five Flatwoods like chairs or thrones that you can sit on throughout the town, and you get like your four stops, and then they give you a prize.
Oh, that's cool. That's cute.
I thought you were gonna say like you sit on those four chairs and like you spawn in the fucking Flatwoods monster. You summon them, bro. It's like some fabulous summon shit. Cursed items.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're driving through West Virginia and the smell gets to you, it might not just be the wilderness. It might be something different.
Because there's been no bathroom for the last 40 miles.
Okay.
Bro, if you got to go to the bathroom West Virginia once. Every 40 miles, we are not making a road trip together.
If I'm doing a road trip, I choose one day out of that week prior, and I just poop for the whole week right there and then.
You're gonna be pissing in a whole fucking monster can if you're trying to stop every 40 miles.
That's what I'm saying. Christian knows, bro. We got our own little story like that, man. Christian and I.
Yeah, our road tripping days, God.
Man, theater sucks, man.
Road trips. We should go on one.
I was saying that. Theater's a bad profession. My friends, I was like, yo, I feel like, you know, we should. I want to bring this up to the Mad Tower boys. I was like, we should choose start out small, do like a haunted Illinois tour, and like get like a nice van and drive to haunted parts of Illinois and do investigations. And then, you know, once our YouTube channel takes off, we're sitting at like 6.5 mil followers, a Patreon, you know, a standing militia. We go across the country instead.
A standing militia.
Keep calling the boys in case things get too dicey at one of the locations.
I don't see this show going any other way than, you know, buying an RV.
That's just the logical conclusion. I've already I've been daydreaming what our Gunchmobile will look like.
Buying the Phasmobile.
Yes, pretty much. Buying the rock salt shotgun.
Yes, sir.
So that's all I got for you, folks. Who wants to pick up the baton?
Between your thumbs, I'll go next. It's funny that you bring up aliens, Christian, man, because, you know, me being, you know, half Latino, half Mexican, man, I'm a little bit of an alien myself in this country.
Oh, man.
Okay, so my story is it takes place across the globe. It takes place in Russia. So essentially the event that I'm bringing up right now to preface kind of this my story is it takes place in the It's called the Chelyabinsky meteorite. Now, essentially, what happened is back in February 15th of 2013, a meteor shot over this area in Russia, and apparently, like, it was so visible that people thought a plane had exploded because it was just like this bright, fiery streak that just lit up the sky. And people are like, what is that? And people are like, oh my gosh, it's a UFO. But those who were smarter were like, oh, that's probably a meteorite. But, you know, usually we see them at nighttime, so they look like shooting stars. But this was in broad daylight, and it burned so bright that it was so bright and so hot that people got sunburned from looking up at it as it passed overhead. That's how hot it was. And so it traveled through the sky. It flew through the air with the greatest of ease, like that jolly fat man in the red BVDs. Of course, we're talking about St. Nicholas there. But it's flying through the air, and it crashes into, let me make sure I get the name right, Lake Chebarkul. It's a very beautiful looking place. I'm kind of an outdoorsman myself. But this is where this
how do you spell it?
It's spelled Chebarkul. Kind of like how a demon's name would be spelled almost. So essentially what happened is on that day later on, a fisherman went there and he found a giant hole in the ice that was a part of this meteor. So essentially what happens is he says, hey, I found this here. There's this giant, massive hole in the middle of this lake. And mind you, this is Russia, so the lake is frozen. It's February, so it's probably a little warmer than it is in Chicago, but still it's cold.
I'm also checking the map data right now. This is in the middle of nowhere, exactly. Russia.
It's like Siberia, like tundra. There ain't nothing there. It's kind of like the Flatwoods of Russia.
The closest thing is like Kazakhstan.
It's a whole other nation, not even a city.
Yeah.
And so essentially what happens is, you know, the police cordon off the area because, of course, you know, this is not like the medieval ages. We don't think an angel has fallen. You know, they're like, there's radiation probably going to come from this. So they cordon off the area. And who knows what else could happen from there? Because there have been other stories of like meteorites impacting places and people going over there and they get like these weird space diseases. And I've talked about that in a different episode. Star rot. Like, that's a real thing. It's not just in Final Fantasy 15. And so essentially what happened is...
I'm sorry. What was the time
This was
frame?
In 2013.
Again? Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was recent. So, you know, the USSR has already collapsed. The splendor of the Russian Empire is gone. Anastasia has escaped, as you will. So essentially what happens is...
I don't know if this picture that I just sent is real from that, but that looks fucking crazy.
I think this is actually in Israel. This is a mine that's on fire in Israel.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole death. They're like, no, yeah. It's actually just like someone lit a match. Someone was fiending for a dart down under the mine shaft and they lit it up and now the whole earth is on fire. But yeah, so a couple months later, that's what it's fanging. Dude, this crazy guy's absolutely fanging for a dart here in the deserts of Israel. So a couple months later, a diver goes down there, you know, like a scientist diver, not just like some randos, like, oh, no, who does that willingly? So they go down there and they get a piece of this, like a fragment of this meteorite. And, at first, they get like a tiny little bit, and it's composed of 10% iron. So the thing is rock solid. Later, months later, they get like a whole bunch of equipment over there, and they dredge up this giant piece. This thing weighs over 1,000 pounds metallic kind of meteorite. Meteorite, air quotes. Now, that leads into my next kind of thing. As with all sightings like this, people are like, you know, UFOs, of course. Something must be happening there, especially since it's so rural. Anybody can say and see anything, honestly. But kind of what people who were some people who had watched it happen, because it wasn't just like there was enough people there to say, oh, my gosh, what's flying through the sky? So what they saw was.
Yeah.
Some guy who was looking at it with his buddies, they're like, what is that? They see it flying. But what caught their eye is that apparently, at one point, they saw something smaller fly up to the meteor, and then the meteor shattered. Now, to this point, exactly. Huh? Now, the Russian military, well, people were like, what's going on? Something just blew this thing up. The Russian military was like, well, we didn't fire a missile. Also, there's not any missiles that could blow up a solid iron meteor that's this giant, massive piece. Like, it couldn't travel fast enough to catch up to it, first of all. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, these people are like, well, I know what I saw. I'm going to post a picture right here of kind of, you know, what these people claim to have seen going down. So, you can kind of see the big black thing is the meteor. And there's this smaller thing, and it was coming in the opposite direction.
Oh. What the hell?
So, people are wondering, what could that have been? What terrestrial type of technology do we have now that can blow a meteorite out of the sky? And this thing is high up, and it's flying, you know, hundreds of miles per hour. But, you know, no one ever found anything. You know, all they saw was like a couple people, like these guys went out and they interviewed other people. They're like, hey, did you see that as well? And some people said, no, you know, it was too bright. Some people were like, where I was, it just was dark enough that I could see. Yeah, something looked like it kind of touched it. Like these facts began to emerge. And, you know, there's even, I think there's actually some videos of the event of the comet actually shooting across the sky. But people were wondering if, there's nothing that we know of on the Earth that could destroy a meteor like that. They think that it might have been some UFO beefing. They think
it's a UFO beef.
Yeah, like a dog fight, kind of like, or like something was trying to enter the atmosphere, and an opposing, you know, let's just say, for example, some opposing extraterrestrial force that has landed on Earth shot this other meteor out of the sky. You know,
that's pretty fucking crazy.
You know, and apparently apparently a year before that, there had been an uptick in UFO sightings, calls to the police department, to the local authorities, saying that, hey, there's something flying through the sky. And this was a year before, mm-hmm. up to a couple months before, this meteorite flew over the city and then got supposedly blown out of the sky.
Oh, and then activity starts to pick up.
Prior to that, it was almost like it was building up. And then when it happened, you know, people were like, you know, some people only saw the meteorite go through the air. People who had prior UFO experiences in the area were like, something's going on, especially when they found out that this meteor seemed to have been shot out of the sky. You know, there were some sightings there of like these glowing green bowls above the lake floating and then disappearing. Like,
this is super reminding me of Lake Baikal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a really good episode. I guess there's a lot of fucking cursed lakes out in
Russia.
In Russia.
Something, you know, if some. You know, let's say extraterrestrials were real and they were here. What better spot to land than some spot that is literally, like, unpopulated and civilization is desolate. You know, what? And on top of that, who's going to believe a desolate villager who says, hey, I saw something flying through the sky. Like, okay, sure, dude. You're like those Americans over there in Flatwoods. Crazy. You have nothing to do with yourself. So you're seeing things. So... But yeah, that's kind of my story, because I you know, I love all things, like I love meteors, I love like impact sites, stuff like that's always interests me. You know, I'm a huge fan of mm-hmm. H.P. Lovecraft, so there's always like, oh, the impact, you know, like the color out of space, or like, you know, there's an impact site, a meteor site where like the great ones landed in Antarctica and at the Mountains of Madness, and there's like, I always find those things so interesting. So to hear in real life something like that happen and people seeing things, and then there being different footage and videos of like this thing hitting some object, hitting this meteor, this asteroid, it immediately drew me into it. And I was like, you know what? I got to bring this to the boys and see what they think about it.
Well, what's your personal take?
Honestly, I think that it's so hard to look at the event and be like, I saw something flying towards it, because that could have been anything. That could have been a bird, like it could have been a perception thing. Like a bird was flying closer to your eyes.
Oh, sure.
And then you know, and, surely. And like the meteor is behind you, and it looks like the bird passes through, and just at that moment, the atmosphere broke the meteorite apart. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's what I believe most right. happened. Or I believe, you know, if anything, if there was anything kind of sketchy about it, maybe the Russian military did fire something. Maybe it was a mm-hmm. missile. Maybe there was an aircraft that passed by. Who knows? Do I think that an alien ship was blown out of the sky by, like, a giant, you know, non-nuclear, you know, bullet fired from a cannon? Probably not. But it's still a cool story to kind of bring, you know, it's still kind of a cool story. And it's kind of something that I feel like would touch on a story that would fit right up the alley of, like, a Mad Tower Radio episode.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's cool yeah. as fuck.
So that's, go ahead.
As a veteran of, you know, Discovery Channel hypotheticals, I distinctly remember as a child sitting on my little couch and them being like, yeah, you know, the Earth missile defense system in the case of a catastrophic meteor is surely not powerful enough and has not enough foresight to deflect a meteor of any particular size. And if they did send a nuclear weapon to blow it up, all they would do was create millions and millions of miles of damage as the meteor shrapnels. Like, it's not worth it to blow yeah, it up if much. It's close
and
enough.
And then you have yeah. a winter going on above you because there's, like, radiation up in the sky.
Exactly. So, like, they wouldn't even want to shoot a missile at it, I think, to break it up, if that was sort of yeah. the intention you were going for.
No, like, that's totally exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, they wouldn't make sense to do it. And honestly, I don't... There's so many things that would have to be checked off in terms of, like, red tape to fire that off. Exactly. It's just a Chernobyl like episode. Coming, or, like, or did some guy know first and he fired the missile off and things like that. Like, there's just so many things that would have to be cleared, you know? Like, they'd have to contact, you know, NATO forces and be like, hey, there's a meteorite's going to hit somewhere here. We're going to shoot a missile at it. You know, we're not engaging in combat. We're not starting a war.
Hey, NATO, be cool, but, like, watch this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
World War III begins because they're trying to shoot a missile.
World War III begins.
And there I was. Dead.
Oh, that's a cool little story. I love that. Yeah. Well, I mean, without further ado, we can move on to what I got. I kind of forgot I had to go, you know. I got a collection for you today. Collection of men. Goat man. And the goat men.
I don't like that.
Okay. So, first we're going to start with the Poplic monster. Are any of you familiar with it? Okay. So.
No.
Let me pull up my notes real quick. Like I said, I forgot I had to go. So the Poplic monster, right? There is a little suburb outside of Louisville, Kentucky, the capital. You know, and I don't know if it's the capital, but it's the big one, right? It is in Fisherville, Kentucky, a little suburb of Louisville, right? There is myths and legends and all that good stuff about a goat man that like lives underneath this old. Like, not okay. So even here, I am furthering the disinformation, right? But everyone, like, you see this bridge? Look at that bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
That bridge looks pretty old and fucking decrepit, right?
Spooky.
Yeah. So rumor has it that the Poplic monster lives underneath that bridge. Ooh. Okay. And there's a million and one theories on how he got underneath that bridge. Some say that, like, he's a demon that was, like, summoned by Satan worshippers. That one day there was a train accident that, he just escaped out of one of the train cars. Like, he was some kind of fucking mad, crazy experiment. Like, just all sorts of wild stuff about how the goat man or the Poplic monster got there. It's living under this bridge, and he has a couple different methods that people theorize that he uses to lure his victims, right? So some people say he uses hypnosis to, like, draw you in and get you to walk down under the bridge, and then he, like, kills you Some people say he uses human mimicry to imitate a voice of someone in trouble underneath the bridge, and when you go to help, then he fucking kills you. Other people say he straight up just has like a woodman's axe that he just fucking chops you up with. And then others say that his appearance is so hideous in nature that if you see him, you are driven to leap from the bridge.
Ooh, very Lovecraftian there.
Oh yeah, they say he was a circus freak who vowed revenge after being mistreated. It's the twisted reincarnation of a farmer who sacrificed goats, like just all sorts of like crazy nonsensical bullshit about this fucking dude, right? But here's the thing, right? That bridge, not decrepit, not old, still very, very much in use. And
okay.
Everybody fucking, like all the local emergency response people fucking hate this bridge because so many people have died or gotten injured or gotten just smoked by this train because they're like, we're going to go find the Popelin monster.
They're fucking around. Oh my yeah. God.
Yeah, everybody thinks that this bridge is abandoned. Because, I mean, if you look at it, you know, if you didn't know any better and you saw this bridge, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this is middle of fucking nowhere, man. Like, no, nobody's coming for us. No. Apparently, it is a very, very...
still in use.
High use. Like, high traffic, high use bridge with trains on it. And people will go out on this bridge and then just get smoked by the train because they're looking for the goat man.
Jeez.
Uh-huh.
So they're not even listening to the story, bro. He's under the bridge.
That's yeah, true. Yeah.
Like, y'all weren't even, like, what are you up there for?
And so, here's a little bit of interesting trivia, right? There was a short film produced in 1988 by a local filmmaker called The Legend of Popelin Monster. Right, and they were showing it at the theater before actual movies started playing and all that stuff. And they didn't film it at the bridge. My bad. It was filmed at the bridge, but they didn't go on the bridge. Any scenes where the characters were on the bridge were shot at a different location.
Very wise.
Right?
Oh, okay.
And so the rail company that actually uses this bridge got fucking pissed because after they released this movie, a bunch of people were like, dude, let's go check out the bridge, and people are just getting killed by this train, dude. You know? And he's showing movies, he's showing scenes in this short film where dudes are like hanging off the side of the bridge in order to like get away from the train, and this kid's hanging on to the side of the bridge for like five, seven minutes, yeah. You know? And so the train company actually like sued them, or didn't sue them, but they issued a statement and they were like, do not go to this fucking bridge. You know, it still happens. It still happens.
Stupid. So yeah, I could.
The latest one was 2019.
What? 2019?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, don't do stupid things like that.
Yes, we are here to advocate safe cryptid hunting.
Use common sense, please.
Like when we went ghost hunting, we went ghost hunting on a fucking trestle bridge just like this. I believe that's what they're called. I'm becoming somewhat of a bridge expert. But we went to a trestle bridge just like this, and we went and checked it out during the daytime to make sure it was safe, see what the flow of traffic was there. And we never just hung out on the middle of the bridge in case there was a car coming. We had flashlights so that we could signal to a car. I mean, obviously, if you signal to a train, it's not going to be able to stop in time. It's going to fucking kill you.
Like these people. But like these people. Like,
yeah. Yeah. We just be safe. It's not that hard to just be safe,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you don't want to end up as the ghost haunting the bridge because you did something stupid.
Bring a first aid kit. Like, it's just... It's very easy to be safe.
It is. And I feel like
but yeah.
Not enough people who do these ghost hunts say that. Like, they're just like, go out no. there and, like, you know, let me get out the... Yeah, like, go.
You find it. I mean,
we kind of made a parody of a disclaimer in the beginning of our video, but we definitely said this was attempted by professionals. We're not professionals. Do not try this at home, yeah. you know? And it's just crazy, no, you know?
It's nuts, dude.
And, you know, these guys go ahead and make a movie. I don't know if people were dying on that bridge before the movie or what, but, like, people are just mm-hmm. dying on that bridge because the legend states that it's fucking abandoned. And they're like, it is not abandoned. It is not abandoned.
Still very much in use. Like, please the, stop.
Yes. Big, huge railway used a lot. You know?
Interesting.
So, yeah, and that's pretty much it for the Popelik monster. Not much sightings or anything like that, not much stories about him, but, you know, interesting bit of trivia around it and a lesson to be learned. Yeah. That's the Popelik the Popelik monster. Popelik goat man.
I like it.
We need more monsters with morals
on the fucking train tracks, kid.
Well, this one you got the moral at the beginning, because now we're moving on to the Maryland Goat Man. Okay? Okay. Stories of a goat man in Prince George's County, Maryland, began surfacing around the 1970s, with the Maryland Goat Man being attributed to the deaths of canines in the area. Apparently he was just killing dogs, you know, he must have studied under the top ATF officers at the time.
Fuck.
And there's a bunch of variations in this legend as well, but there's like one where he's a hermit, you know, and he just wanted to be left alone, and he lived in the woods, and you could see him walking around alone at night. But the most popular, and this one's fucking awesome, because it goes back to like that 50s pulp, Ray Punk aesthetic, yeah. right? According to some variations of this legend, the Maryland Goatman is said to have once been a scientist who worked at the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. In this version, an experiment on goats backfires, and the scientist mutates into a half-man, half-goat creature who begins aggressively attacking cars in the vicinity of Beltsville, Maryland. So, I mean, that's pretty fucking cool.
It's alive! Right? That's what that kind of, like, those are the vibes I get from that, like, Dr. Frankenstein kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. But he has a lot more stories, a lot more sightings. Like, this guy is fucking... I just wanted to explore the Goatman universe today, fuck man.
Cracked.
Can I get the location Maryland. Of the Maryland Goatman once more, please?
Beltsville, Maryland. Are you pulling up the map?
Beltsville. I'm taking a look right
what's
now.
What's it look like over in Beltsville, Maryland?
They got any
Beltsville, Maryland.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, Maryland's the tiniest goddamn the state,
union.
You know.
In the Union.
Like everything by Maryland, it's yeah. you know, by DC, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which, you just sent a couple of Goatman pictures. Which one of these is,
All of them. All of
one
them.
Of these is a meme, right?
You know.
That's a pretty renowned Goatman picture.
It's hard
right there.
To distinguish the Goatmen. They could all be the same Goatman, who knows?
Sure, he could be like a cross-country yeah. guy.
Entity summoned like, up in a certain specific way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so who knows?
What the fuck?
What's wrong? You don't like this picture I'm sending you?
Yeah, that guy looks like he's down bad. He's looking like he's looking for a kiss, too.
Like you're making out with your girlfriend after the sick football game, and the goat dude's hey, there coming up sure, to your Cadillac. Sure.
Supposedly, this here is a sighting of the goat man.
That picture, the new one you just sent, kind of looks like a render. Or are you talking about this like this cam
one,
footage?
But that just looks like one of those silver spray painted street performers, but he got like lost in the woods.
Yeah, does he, lost? That's like a guy dressed in tinfoil. It looks like a guy totally covered in tinfoil. It looks like he's throwing up. Like there's like some yellow blob coming out of his mouth. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It's like, you know, they have a winter coat where they're all white, you know, to blend in.
You caught them in the summer.
You caught them in the melting yeah. spring.
Stroke on the side of a mountain.
And then, so local folklorist Barry Pearson goes on to talk about the Goatman legend, and he says that, quote, long, long, long ago, that's when the Goatman legend began, and it was popularized around 1971 when somebody blamed the death of their dog on the Goatman, and I guess it got picked up by the local local papers, right? And Pearson thinks that the legend is kept alive today by bored teenagers who keep going out and I guess killing dogs. I don't know if that has any merit or if this Barry Pearson guy just hates teenagers or what, but
he was never a teenager.
Yeah, apparently he thinks it's that, you know.
That guy sounds like he's absolutely cracked in the head. Like, what? I think he sounds like a teens. Scooby-Doo villain. He sounds like a straight-up Scooby-Doo villain.
He's out there killing dogs.
Yeah.
He's like, those kids are,
Fred
you
pulls
know.
The mask off, and they're like, Barry Pearson.
Fuck you, kids.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if he ever laid a hand on Velma, I'd have to break his fingers, bro. No one touches Velma. That's what's up.
And then, you know, lastly, I have the Lake Worth Goat Man. Right? And this one's a little interesting because it's, here it goes. Reports of sightings by local citizens of a, quote, a half-man, half-goat with fur and scales.
Wow.
In July 1969, ooh, led to the belief that a mysterious creature lived in Lake Worth, Texas. Christian, you want to pull up the map for that? Let me know what we got going on in Lake Worth, Texas.
Lake Worth, Texas.
Yep. So the first most popular sighting of this guy is that the monster jumped out of a tree and landed on a man's car, and then it also threw an automobile tire at a group of people.
Oh, okay.
And then people began going out to the area to look at it at night and all that shit. Oh yeah, dude. People don't care.
It appears to be a suburb of Dallas.
That's where I'm going to be out there soon.
You better watch out. There's a hippocampus out there throwing tires. Like
they don't.
Kong.
They don't got a great picture of the Lake Worth goat, man.
So
here he is.
Yeah. Looks like a Yeti.
He does look like a Yeti.
He looks sad.
Yeah, he's a Yeti, man, in Dallas.
Fuck out.
He does look kind of sad.
Like he's got yelled at. No more tires to throw. So he's just sitting there. He's like, man, I wish it was more tires to throw at people.
Oh, look at this one. This is coming to you straight from DeviantArt. This looks like
that's like a JoJo stand.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it looks a little. I don't know. I bet if I looked at this man's profile, I'd probably find some erotic art.
Something you don't
that
like.
That goat man is shredded.
Strong, be a little shredded, man. Gotta be a little strong. Gotta be a little strong. You want to go hack people up and throw car tires at people?
And it's had, what, one set of encounters, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, he's got some room to grow. His legend's still evolving.
You know, I mean, one set of like famous encounters that made the paper. I'm sure if you're a kid growing up in Lake Worth, everyone's seen them. You know, every grandpa's got a fucking story about when he saw the fucking Fort Worth, Lake Worth goat man. You know,
yeah, I could.
Okay,
no, man, I got stuff to say, man. I'm sad, just like him, bro.
I'm like trying to wrap my head around these. Like, what is it that in our like psyche? What is it in our culture that specifically builds the goat man? Right?
Probably like religious devil iconography. Yeah. You know,
that's what I'm trying to find. Yeah, where's that connection?
What do you mean connection?
Like the Baphomet. Like, is it this corrupted Greek myth thing. Like, that's the only other place, like, culturally where this goat thing happens besides the satanic panic type stuff.
The United States and, you know, the religion of choice, the dominant religion is, you know, Neo-Judaic Christianity.
Satanism.
You know, the goat is always seen as something bad, but even in the Bible they would say, you know, I will separate them by the sheep and the goats, where the goats are the, you know, where the goats are sinners. So I think anything that has to do with a goat, and then of course, you know, like back in the 1400s during the Crusades, there was Baphomet with the Knights Templar, you know, the goat-headed demon. You know, that's why I think now that, unfortunately, because goats are fucking adorable. You know, you see them on the farm and they're goofy and they're funny, but just, you know, I think kind of that devil panic sets in. So of course, like the most, you know, I'm not going to say, yeah, there was an alligator headed guy out there, because that just sounds too cool. That just sounds badass. I think there's something kind of like a primal fear that comes with kind of the religious upbringing of the country, that like a goat is what's scary, because you don't really see those things in, you know, like, let's say like the Middle East or something like that.
I mean, it's a tale as old as time, you know.
True,
hey, Johnny, you better not be out in the woods after dark. Why not, Dad? The devil is out there.
Because Grant,
you know,
Satan and his minions.
Satan and his minions
wanders the forest naked.
Will descend upon ye.
Well, originally I was like, is this just small town, like? It just is farmers chilling, and like a goat got out and he started doing a little dance on his 2 feet, and that got misconstrued.
And the farmer tried to like shut off. I was like, yo, look at this badass thing my goat can do. And then they killed him and the goat. They're like, yeah, that guy was a demon. He had a fucking demon.
They're like, perish, minion of Satan.
Wait, what? I thought this was cool. And he became the goat man.
He's like, bro. It's like the goat's just doing a funny dance.
What's the goat doing?
All these are suburbs. So like that don't work. All of these towns were all suburbs, so like that like rural mis-sighting theory kind of vanishing.
Yeah, these are all pretty near civilization, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a little wacky,
on
right?
The like spectrum of terrifying beasts you find out at the woods. Do you think yourself capable of taking out a goat man? Is that like a low tier?
I would whoop the shit out of the goat
fight?
Man. No cap.
I think that's cap.
You think that's cap?
I think that's cap.
Bro, okay. Like, they got horns. Fine. I'm not scared of goats. I would beat the shit out of it.
Bro, you look at Pillar Man fucking Goat Man out here.
Yeah, but okay. That one might be
difficult. Tell me what you're going
to
do.
But like, you know, look at that. Okay, look at Under the Scary Minions picture. See that guy? I could beat his ass. Not even a question. And then above the Pillar Man one, he already looks like he got his ass beat.
He does look like he
got
his
ass beat.
The guy above him got his ass
beat. He's kind of defeated already.
Like, yeah, dude, I could whoop his ass. You have to show those pictures in order as I reference them so they know what I'm talking about.
I'm typing it down right now. I'm like, okay, so he said this one, then he said that one.
I don't know. Maybe you're just more confident in yourself than me, but like, I mean, if I had a gun, I could beat any cryptid.
I could put up like 45 on the bench press, man. Like, it ain't much that could conquer me, man. That's just the bar, mind you. Know?
I heard Goat Man can do a 50.
Sheesh, okay, then, man. I might be a little different then. I might have to start packing heat. Anything I can't make up with sheer muscle power, I could just shoot him.
Yeah, you might be getting fucked up if you can throw 50 on the bench.
Well, thank you for this.
Oh no, you're not done yet, motherfucker.
There's another one.
I got a sighting for you that I want to cap off the night with.
Oh shit!
Look out your back door.
Here it is. I came across the Goat Man from Prince George's County, Maryland. Story begins. One night, about 10 years ago, me and my best friend decided to stop by a local, quote, hangout, end quote, of ours in Bowie, Maryland, to smoke a cigarette before he dropped me off at home. Boys were absolutely fanging for a dart, and don't fucking lie, I know you're smoking weed out there, bro. You don't go to a hangout to smoke a cigarette. You just do that in the car. You guys are out there ripping a fucking bowl. But anyways, we grew up here and spent our early years wandering the railroad tracks and woods, smoking and drinking as children do. So this one spot is a railroad overpass at 450 and 197. There's a parking lot and a small area of grass and trees, about 30-foot strip of land separating the tracks and the lot. So it's nighttime and we decide to go there to smoke a cigarette. We go to the tracks and we're facing the parking lot, so the overpass and to our left and the tracks go on to our right. This way, we're still barely in the glow from the yellow lights of the parking lot. Now we're smoking and he's talking, but the entire time I'm focused to my right, peering down this track because I have the strangest feeling. I didn't know what it was until later, and it was the feeling of being watched by a predator, which I've never experienced before. After about 2 minutes, we're almost done with our cigarettes, and a helicopter flies right above us, seemingly at tree level, with the spotlight briefly going right over us, coming from the direction of the overpass. Not 5 seconds later, I hear the gravel shift from between the tracks, and I look towards the overpass. Standing right there, in the center of the overpass, there is this giant silhouette. Now, since it is dark and it's under the overpass, I can only see it's a silhouette. But it's about 8 or 9 feet tall and burly looking. It appears as if its head was attached to its torso, completely bypassing any semblance of a neck, the way Super Jack dudes look. It was huge, and we only looked at it for about a second before I said, "Let's go now." Now, we hurriedly started rushing away, and we hear the gravel move closer, and not 3 seconds, we both hear the most demonic, horrifying, multiple-pitched screech literally behind our heads. It came from no more than a foot behind us. So, of course, we book it to his car, and no, we didn't look back, because are you kidding me? Get real. We get to his car, and funny thing, his lanyard got stuck around the steering wheel, and when we pulled out of the parking lot, his keys pulled out of the ignition as he turned the steering wheel. We got the car started back up and drove around for an hour, and all we could say was, "What the fuck?" And that was our encounter with the goat man.
It was rough.
It continues. Now, a week later, we were talking to our other friend, who has also spent a lot of the time in the woods. He was telling us about how last week the cops were out in the woods because they heard screams and thought a woman was being assaulted. Now, I asked him if they had helicopters out, and he said yes. I asked him what day it was, and it was the same night we saw the goat man. So we told him our experience, and he was like, "Yeah, that was him." So, yeah, that's the goat man encounter from Prince George's County, Maryland.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think, like, what's scarier? The normal goat, like, bleeding, like, scary screech, or the multi-pitched demon noise that thing made?
Oh, that's probably, yeah. That probably, yeah, I'd probably say that is way worse.
Oh yeah.
You know, cuz if I hear like just a regular goat out in the woods, I'm like, well, it's either goat man or there's a chance it's just a regular goat. But if I hear like a multi-pitched demon fucking rumbling in the woods, I'm like, we're dead.
That's not a regular goat. That's at it. All.
But yeah, no shot those guys were smoking a fucking cigarette. Those guys were getting fucking high as shit out.
That's
there.
Probably...
Then the goat man wanted a hit.
Bump on that spliff, kid.
Don't you fucking lie to me.
We know. We've been there.
I feel like we're neglecting the very horrifying point that goats have, like, the horizontal eye.
Yeah, I hate that. About. I'll never look a goat in the eye. I don't respect them.
I hate that.
But yeah, I mean, that's the goat man universe. The fucking... Truly, now we just need the infinity war of the goat man. They all need to come together and fight the Flatwoods monster.
Have you seen that Flatwoods monster?
Are you...
Would probably kill him. Go ahead.
So is that to say, Dan, you're not going to watch the 2021 horror film Lamb?
Nope.
Will you be watching...
And I was like, we're finally going into the Goatman. Because have you guys read the Goatman creepypasta?
Yeah, a ton of them.
way 10 times worse than any Goatman cryptid sighting.
I know, right? Those are
the one I remember most vividly, and this one actually fucking scared me when I was a kid. It was the one where there's like the dudes are hanging out at the campground, and there's like 8 or 9 of them, and they're like hanging out with some dudes they haven't really met before, so nobody was familiar with each other. And so, like, the goat man could, like, shapeshift.
Oh, wait a minute. You just unlocked some shit. I read that one. Whoa.
Yeah. And, like,
he's, like, acting off. He's like, I never got in the car with you.
Yeah, oh, like, the goat man infiltrated the RV.
Yeah, the RV.
Yeah, bro. That shit was insane.
Oh, yeah.
That was way scarier than any of these Goatman sightings. So, Goatman, if you're listening, up your game, bro. You need to get on that level. Yeah, like the fucking 14-year-olds on Reddit are outclassing you and scary.
I remember there was one I listened to. There's this guy on YouTube I listened to called Darkness Prevails, and he does some pretty spooky stories. He did one that freaked me out about the Goatman. These are all supposed true sightings, air quotes. And his was like, this dude was like, he was going to like school late at night because he had to like, he forgot something in the theater, and when he walked into the theater, he heard his professor, like his teacher, calling him, and he was like in the back room, like trying to like find out where the teacher was because the light was on, and he was looking at all the different props and stuff like that, and he looked at one, and he's like, "Wow, that!" He's like, "I didn't know we had like a goat head mask like that." And then, it, like, he looked at it, and then the mouth opened up and spoke like his teacher, and then started bleeding, and he ran off, and he could hear it like pounding down the hallway after him, just saying the same line that his teacher would say. Like, that should fuck me up.
Yikes. What the fuck? That's like goosebumps. I know, right?
That's good.
Like, I was like, I listened to that story in broad daylight, and I was scared to get my car. Yeah.
Those are the ones that get you. Yeah, you're like, it's 2 o'clock. Bro. I'm like, sweating.
I was like, the moment I step out of my car and get like and be in the garage, I'm going to die. Like, it's going to get me.
I'm like, dude, just watch scary stuff during the daytime. Nothing bad will happen. You'll be fine. And then it's like, daytime passes, and I'm like, oh shit. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got for the goat man. Anybody got any closing thoughts? Anything else at all?
No, I enjoyed everyone's story, what everyone brought to the table today.
This felt like a classic episode, you know, like just back in the old days. We're getting back on the horse, fucking wheeling and dealing this year, growing the channel. It's going to be a good year for Mad Tower Radio, boys. This is it. Maybe for lucky, we'll hit 47 subscribers by the end of the year.
I think I'm going to say it today, and I'm putting it out there, that we're going to have 100 subscribers by the end of the summer.
Sheesh.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
Well, everybody, if you want to help us hit that goal of 100 subscribers tentatively by the summer, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, join the Gunch Squad. We're trying to interact with our community more, so if you want to get a hold of us and you want your story shared on this podcast, hit us up at Twitter, at madtowerradio.com, Instagram, at madtowerradio, email, supermadtower@gmail.com. We're branching out, you know, we got a TikTok, I guess, at Mad Tower Radio, if that's the kind of stuff that you're into. We're out here TikToking now. Just trying to interact with the community and get some more stories to share on this podcast. And yeah, this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.